So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text 12. Chapter is called King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. Atmanam Marayam Chakre Dupale Pasrakadibi Satvalankrita Savanga Mahishyam Marade Manaha. Translation by Sri Gracious Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After this, King Puranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. Please repeat. After this, King Puranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. Purport. When a man comes into good consciousness and accepts a saintly person as a spiritual master, he hears many Vedic instructions in the form of philosophy, stories, narrations about great devotees and transactions between God and his devotees. In this way, a man becomes refreshed in mind, exactly like a person who smears scented sandalwood pulp all over his body and decorates himself with ornaments. These decorations may be compared to knowledge of religion and the self. Through such knowledge, one becomes detached from a materialistic way of life and engages himself in always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures. The word sarvalankrita used in this verse indicates that one must be absorbed in knowledge gathered from the instructions of saintly persons. Just as King Puranjana began to search out his better half, the queen, one who is decorated with knowledge and instructions from saintly persons should try to search out his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. One cannot return to Krishna consciousness unless he is favored by the instructions of a saintly person. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Karya Akya. If you want to become saintly persons, or if you want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with sadhu, or saintly person, shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and guru, a bona fide spiritual master. This is the process. I read the verse one more time. After this, King Puranjana decorated his body with suitable ornaments. He also smeared scented sandalwood pulp over his body and put on flower garlands. In this way, he became completely refreshed. After this, he began to search out his queen. Amagyana timirandasya genangina silakya chaksurumilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri chaitanya mano bistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kramayam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham sri guru sri yuta parakamalam sri guru vaishnavamscha. Sri rupam sagrajatam sagana ragunatam vitam tam sajivam. Satvetam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Rare Vrindavaneshwari Vrisabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunvya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vata Gadadhar Sri Gaura Bhaktavindam Namam Vishmadai Krishna Prasthai Bhutle Sri Mata Kramakanana Swami Niti Namine Namam Vishmadai Krishna Prasthai Bhutle Guru Dasya Advaita Swami Niti Namine Namam Vishmadai Krishna Prasthai Bhutle Sri Mata Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharine Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here the instructions of the spiritual master. They are compared to ornaments in sandalwood pulp. I was hearing the other day in a lecture that the instructions of the spiritual master are like the active principle in his disciple's spiritual life. It's like the soul is the active principle within the body, and without the soul, the body becomes useless. So the same way, if the disciple forgets the instructions of the spiritual master, the disciple becomes useless. I thought that was quite a heavy statement. So the secret of success in spiritual life is that the disciple has firm faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. Yashadeva prabhakti yatadeva tatagura tashate karitayata prakrishanti mahatmanaha. And it says, to one who has staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the secret of success and Vedic knowledge is revealed. Okay, I'll put it this way. Better? So firm faith in the instructions of the spiritual master means that we have faith in all the instructions of the spiritual master. The instructions of the spiritual master are not like chocolates in a box. We can pick, we only like the dark chocolate or we only like the milk chocolate. And we have to take all the instructions of the spiritual master. And we can't just say, I like this one, but I haven't heard that one. Passed me by. So the spiritual master knows the nature of his disciple. So his instruction, he's able to engage his disciple in a way that he can overcome his maya, overcome his anarthas. So we have to have that faith in the spiritual master that he knows us and that he knows what is best for us. And so we have to accept whatever the spiritual master says, regardless if we like it or not. At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the song of Narottama Das Thakur. Sadhushastra Guru Vakya Chitaita Kariya Ikya. He says that if we want to become saintly persons or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, then we must associate with Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. And when I was reading this, what I thought was very interesting was the words want there. If we actually want, do I want to become a saintly person? Do I want to return to my original Krishna consciousness? And how much do I want that? It's an interesting thing to reflect on. I kind of did some soul searching there. And I was reading that the only thing that is holding us back in our spiritual life is the fact that we are afraid that we lose something on the way. So we cannot completely surrender. And there's, we have this little secret desire in our hearts. It's like hidden in a corner somewhere. We don't want anyone to know it about. Sometimes we don't even want to admit it to ourselves. And we hold on to that little secret desire. But to the extent that we hold on to that one desire or those few secret desires, it's to that extent we can become Krishna conscious. It limits our Krishna consciousness. We see so many devotees, they come to the movement and they make a lot of advancement and they become very enthusiastic devotees, and then at some point in time they're gone. Why? And sometimes when you speak to devotees like that, and they kind of feel that the process didn't actually work for them. They've been here for so long and they just felt that the process didn't work. And why didn't the process work? I mean, we can see so many shining examples in our movement of the process working. Even in here in Radhadesh, we have so many wonderful examples. So why doesn't the process work? Why doesn't it work for everyone? Because we're all chanting, we're all reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we're all going to Srimad Bhagavatam class, at least most of the time. We all go to Mangala Arati at some time or other. So why does it work for some people and why doesn't it work for other people? And because some people, they really, really, really want it. The secret of success in spiritual life is greed, transcendental greed, lalyam. We have to really, really desire it. And if we really desire it, we get rid of those little desires that we have stuck in the corner of our hearts. Because what happens is that we have this desire, and then while we water our bhakti lata beach, we also water that secret desire every now. We make sure that it gets its little bit of water as well. And while sometimes we might forget to water our bhakti lata beach, most of the time we don't forget to water that little secret desire. So sometimes you run the risk that the desire grows a lot faster than our bhakti-lata beach grows. And then it's like rowing with the anchor attached. You know, we all know the story of the wedding party, and they had to go to another village, and they were have to be there in the morning. So they hired this boatman to row them along the river in the morning at night, and then in the morning they could sleep in the boat, and then in the morning they would arrive there. They were all refreshed, and they could start the wedding. So the boatman was rowing the whole night, and they were sleeping. So the next morning they wake up and they look, and they're still in the same spot. And the boatman said, "Well, he's been rowing the whole night, but he'd forgotten to take off the anchor, to take up the anchor." So they didn't get anywhere. So trying to do all those things in Krishna consciousness while we're still harboring this little secret desire, while we're still watering all these little desires, it's like rowing with the anchor out. And if we really want to make advancement, then we have to give up that little secret desire that we have. So going back to this song of Narottama Das Thakur, Sarushastra Guru Vakya Chite Te Koryaikya, we should associate with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So we've touched up a little bit upon Guru already. So then there's the Sadhu, the saintly people. Now who are these saintly people? Where can we find them? And sometimes new devotees, they come and they kind of look around and they wonder, you know, where is all those really saintly people, those very Krishna conscious people? You know, when am I going to see them? When am I going to meet them? But they're here. You know, they're sitting there, in the temple room. I'm looking at them. And because everybody who has come to the temple has made some commitment to stay. You know, everybody has given up so much to be able to be here. You know, maybe we come, you know, because we're distressed, or because we want some riches, or because we're curious, or at best if we want knowledge. But at some point in time, that wears off a little bit. I mean, there's plenty of distress in the temple, and there's definitely no riches to be had, and curiosity is very quickly satisfied. So then, you know, we ultimately stay for knowledge, and we ultimately stay because we know what we want, and we want to become Krishna conscious. And to make that commitment, that's quite a big thing. So, yes, everybody who is here, in principle, is a saintly person. And actually, you know, as Lord Chaitanya said, everybody who chants Hare Krishna once is a Vaishnav. So what else is a Vaishnav than a saintly person? So we should not make a mistake of judging devotees from a material viewpoint. So every devotee here is special. Yesterday, during Bhakti Shastri class, we were discussing the Panchanga Bhakti, the five most important items of devotional service. Anybody who can tell them? Yeah? No. That is another list. The Panchanga Bhakti is the first one that is on top of the 64 principles. But the Panchanga Bhakti are five other items. Living in the Holy Dham, yes. Yes. No. Yes. Yes. So it's chanting Hare Krishna. Associating with the devotees. Oh no, worshipping the deities. Worshipping the deities, that is it. Worshipping the deities. So chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, worshipping the deities, living in the Holy Dham. Sorry? And reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, sorry. How could I forget? So we talked about living in Mathura, and that actually Radhadesh, or any temple where we have Radha Krishna, where we have deities, where we worship the deities, is a holy dham, is not different from Mathura. And we were reading the 10 offenses to the holy dham, and Sudevi was explaining, well, that basically these offenses, they also then count for a temple like Radhadesh. Because if Radhadesh is not different from the holy dham, then those offenses should also be taken into consideration when we're here. And one of these offenses is that we should not commit violence towards any of the residents of the Holy Dharam or any of the pilgrims who come there, or to think that they're ordinary people. So, devotees might sometimes act in a way which is not correct, but from the moment they surrender their material life and come to live here, they place themselves under the protection of the Supreme Lord. So, disrespecting, criticizing, or violence even, verbal or physical, towards devotees, or as mentioned here, even the guests, is very bad for our spiritual life. It's like, you know, you go to school and you bully this little boy, but this little boy has a very big, very strong brother. And you don't want to fool around with the little boy with a very big, strong brother. So the devotees, they have a very big, strong brother. They have a very big protector on the altar in the form of Radha Gopinath. So we don't want to fool around with devotees. And then finally there's the Shastra. And I have to admit that I myself am not a very avid reader. It's my first spiritual master back in 1981. He actually, you know, when you have your initiation, you have the vows, you know, the four principles, and I was chanting 16 rounds. And for me, he actually moved away the microphone and he leant over and he said, and you will read 1 hour every day. So he felt it necessary to give me that special instruction, knowing that otherwise I probably wouldn't do it. So, but we do have to read every day. And these books are not just there to decorate our cupboards. His Holiness Kramakanda Maharaj mentioned when he was here last, is that these books are not, they're not just dry philosophy. We're supposed to practice them in our lives. And it should be applied daily. It's not just enough to learn the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart. It's nice, but if you can't apply it, then it's just there to inflate our ego. Philosophy needs to be implied. There was a nice quote I read in Reading Reform Notebook. One of Prabhupada's most forceful statements on the importance of reading his books occurs in the purport of the Chaitanya-charitamrita, Madhya Lila 25, 278. All of the devotees connected with this Krishna consciousness movement must read all of the books that have been translated. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. So this is a nice way to, you know, to realize how important Prabhupada's books are. And just earlier on when I was chanting in the room next door, just prior to the lecture, I was thinking that those three are equally important. It's not that we can say, okay, well, I just, you know, I am a guru and I associate with my guru and, you know, the sadhus are nice to them, but they're not that important. Of I just want to associate with devotees and the other things. And we have to do them equally. You know, or I just read Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read Srimad Bhagavatam the entire day. And the instructions of my spiritual master, I'm not going to ask him too much because I can find everything in the books. I don't have time to associate with devotees because I can find everything in the books. They're equally important. There has to be a balance between the three if you want to have a healthy Krishna conscious life. And unfortunately, I don't have much more to say. So, if there's any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. In principle, all the instructions of the spiritual master are meant for us. The general instructions and specifically the instructions he gives to us personally. So obviously the instructions he gives to us personally, they fall under, you know, what I explained, that the spiritual master, he knows our nature. So if we want to actually get out of Maya, then we should really follow those instructions. But all the instructions the spiritual master gives are meant for us. I mean, I know from my own experience, well, some people commented on it when my Guru Maharaj was here the last time and they asked me, was he speaking to you? So the instructions that he gives in the temple, a lot of spiritual masters, they instruct their disciples through a normal lecture. So yes, all the instructions are there. I mean, ultimately, Maya is Maya. And, you know, the instructions that are specially meant for us, or the general instructions, they're all meant to help us to get out of Maya. So we should take all the instructions. Yes? Something else? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, Prabhu, could you look up for a second? I'm a little bit deaf and I don't see people's faces.
Devotees become discouraged because of they say why the process doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say the reason is the little secret design. But isn't it that some of the reasons why people say it doesn't work because it's supposed to flee from the little secret design?
Yes, but we hide that. Okay. Okay, Prabhu was asking that, you know, I said that people leave and then they say the process doesn't work and because we still have that little secret desire. And he says, isn't the process supposed to free us from that little desire? Yes, it is. The process is supposed to free us from that desire if we follow it correctly. But if we start holding on to our anarthas, not wanting to give them up, then obviously the process doesn't work. I mean, the process means that we follow all the instructions of the spiritual master and of the shastra, and then ultimately we give up all those desires. So the fact that we hold on to this desire means that we haven't followed those instructions. We haven't actually followed the instructions in the scriptures or of the guru or the advice of the other devotees. Because otherwise there's no way we can hold on to those desires. Is this something, I mean, I have this from my own experience. There's always something that we know we should give it up, we know we're doing it wrong, we know it's there, but we just prefer not to listen to the instructions because we're just too attached to it. Yes, is that okay? Yes, Prabhu?
Mm-hmm. So my question is, we are speaking about spiritual master, we're always thinking about person or about the principle, about one person, as you were now mentioning, or how to understand it proper, how to properly understand the position of spiritual master, you're referring to Shiksha and Diksha. And you're referring to spiritual master before Diksha or instructions we are thinking that it's coming from Krishna?
Well, in principle, there is our Diksha Guru, who is normally also our Shiksha Guru. And besides that, yeah, we do have Shiksha Gurus, but then normally they fall under the head of Sadhu. You know, you have your Guru, who is then normally your Diksha Guru, and the Shiksha Gurus we have, I mean, they're often just, you know, senior devotees, or so they fall under the head of Sadhu. So, yes, Guru is Guru. We have our spiritual master, and that's one person. At least according to my understanding, there's just one person. And that's why I also mentioned there has to be a balance. Before there was Guru, and nothing else counted. And I come from that time. So, yes, there was the Guru, and you only listened to the Guru, and he was absolute, and whatever he said, we followed. And, you know, there was much less importance attached to the other items. So there was no balance there. But if there's a proper balance between Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and I mean, again, whatever Guru says has to be in accordance with Sadhu, Shastra, so then we're very safe. But Guru is always Guru. There's one Guru. I mean, ultimately, the Guru still is the external manifestation of the Chaitya Guru, of the Supersoul. So we have to have that faith that whatever he says is intended for our well-being and is going to help us. until there is a reason why we shouldn't. But until that time, yes, we just follow Guru, the one person. Is that all? Sorry, I cannot. I have a hard time hearing you. I'm sorry. I'm deaf. I'm having a hard time.
I said there are many devotees in our society who are not in physical contact with their spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Even more, spiritual master doesn't know them personally. So that's interesting. How to understand the phenomenon?
Well, as Ramkeshwar Prabhu asked, like the you know, what is worse than do we only have to, you know, is that the importance is that the personal instructions or that the general instructions? So, you know, we have, you know, go to ISKCON Desiree and you can find a gazillion lectures from your spiritual master. So there's so many instructions from our spiritual master are there, even if we don't have personal contact with them. So I was, some time ago, I was talking with a junior devotee, a young girl, and she was aspiring from a spiritual master who has many, many disciples, where she couldn't get any personal contact with him. And she approached me at some point in time, and she said, well, I'm a little bit jealous of you because you have personal association with your spiritual master all the time. And I told her, well, you can't really think like that. You know, if you choose a certain spiritual master, then you have to have that faith that that situation is for your benefit. And if you don't feel that, then you shouldn't take initiation from the person. So, yes, we aspire from a certain spiritual master, and we make that choice, or maybe we don't make the choice, Krishna sends him to us, then we have to have that faith that that is for our well-being, and we have to learn to associate with him in whatever way possible. There were so many Guru Padma Prabhu, he never met Srila Prabhupada personally, but he feels very much inspired by Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and he's become a fantastic devotee by following those instructions, even though he never met Srila Prabhupada personally. So we have to have that faith that whatever Krishna, whatever situation Krishna gives us is for our benefit, whether we see our spiritual master 3, 4, 5 times a year, or whether we see him once every 2, 3 years, whether he knows our name, or he doesn't know our name because he's got so many disciples. We have to have that faith. Because if we don't, then we commit offenses. Yes? Something else?
I'm not sure about this statement that you said that the Shishya Guru is in the position on the level of the same, you can relate to it as the category of son, as a guru. Because then on the policy of this succession, you can find it really that there is not just a Viksha, there's actually a Shishya, the position. So then we have to relate to this in this situation.
Well, I think, okay, then I have to kind of, in some cases, there is people who have like a Shiksha Guru, a kind of, you know, there's like a more an official relationship with like, you know, okay, that is my Shiksha Guru. And in some cases, I mean, ultimately, a senior devotee is a sadhu, but we can take Shiksha from a person, and in that sense, you know, but maybe I kind of put the stress wrong, but we do have some people who are Shiksha Guru as well, who are just really, you know, we have one Mataji like Manasi Ganga, she takes Shiksha from another spiritual master. So then there's a definite guru-disciple relationship. Then it's not, then she cannot see him as a sadhu. There's like a guru-disciple relationship. So if that relationship is more official, or if it's, it depends on the position of who we take Shiksha from. Yes?
Just on the subject of Shiksha and Diksha, there's a very nice book called Shiksha Guru by Shikha Swami. In the book he discusses this quite in depth.
Mm-hmm. So can you give some...
like you said, the person who we take the most shiksha from usually becomes the Diksha Guru, so somebody gets initiated. So someone only has one Diksha Guru. Well, that, anyway, we have serial Diksha, serial monogamous Diksha Guru. So somebody will have only one Diksha Guru, but they can have many Shiksha Gurus.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shiksha Guru will never go, at least in the night, usually Diksha Guru will be in the same village, or at least you see them regularly. But because we have an international society, then the Diksha Guru is often distant, and the Shiksha Guru is very close. But the Shiksha Guru, gurus should act under the direction and in cooperation with the Diksha Guru. So like in Prabhupada's time, the Prabhupada couldn't instruct all of his, especially when the movement got big, then he couldn't instruct all of his disciples personally. So he instructed that his disciples should take shiksha from the GBC, local GBCs and from Thakur Prasad. So there was a formal relationship. The local Thakur Prasad was your shiksha guru. So then that was under Srila Prabhupada. That's under his direction. I think at the minute we don't have a formal process whereby someone becomes someone's shiksha guru, but it can happen. But it should always be done under the diksha guru. If someone has a diksha guru and then they take shiksha from someone, like, I mean, there's informal shiksha, like someone says, oh, you know, you clean the floor like this, or you wash the pots like this, and that's kind of like informal. But if you talk about a formal diksha guru, then they shouldn't. Yeah, if someone says this is my diksha guru, but they do that independently from their diksha guru, then that's intense. They shouldn't do that. It's formal shiksha. It's informal shiksha. And like we can take, like in the scriptures it says, you can take shiksha gold from a dirty place. So even from somebody who's a complete idiot, we can learn something. But that's informal. That's not formal shiksha.
Okay.
And in the Krishna consciousness movement, the Srila Prabhupada is the anti guru, so he's the ultimate shiksha guru. So all of the people who are diksha gurus, their empowerment as a guru is only from Srila Prabhupada. They stop from Srila Prabhupada, they're not a guru. So.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
When you are an older devotee and at least one of your spiritual masters you left.
Yeah.
So I was surprised when you were speaking strongly about faith in spiritual master. So would you want to say something more about the on one hand your spiritual master left and you have not to say you should have more faith in spiritual master?
Well, for myself at least, if I had a faith problem for a long time, admittedly. But ultimately, if we want to make advancement in spiritual life, we have to have that faith. And until that faith is broken, we have to have that faith. It's my Guru Maharaj explains this as well. Like if he said in a lecture once that, you know, okay, your spiritual master can leave, and then you know, it's advisable to take initiation from someone else and try and put your faith in that person. And if he leaves again, you have to try it again. He said at some point it stops, but we have to try and put our faith in that person. He admits himself that it's difficult. I was having a discussion with one of my god sisters the other day, and she was saying that he told her that it's very difficult for a disciple surrender. When the spiritual master is left, the disciple may surrender to another spiritual master, but that surrender will never be as complete as it was the first time. So the faith is there, at least for myself, that faith is there completely. I have no reason not to have faith in my spiritual master. And what happened to my previous spiritual master was unfortunate. It wasn't entirely his fault, and you know, this. And he was, how long was he devotee when he became a spiritual master? Well, 10, 11 years or something like that. And I mean, many of us have been here for a lot longer than 10 or 11 years. And I'm sure we cannot imagine having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of disciples. So he was a young devotee. The movement was young. And when Srila Prabhupada left, there were so many misconceptions. So he was as much a victim as his disciples were on one hand. So it took me some time to see that, But yes, I have complete faith in my spiritual master, and it's otherwise I shouldn't have taken initiation. You cannot take initiation from a spiritual master when you don't have faith in him, because it will not work. So I waited for 20 odd years until I managed to have faith in somebody like that. But yes, I do have faith. Yes? That's it. Grant Rajshimit Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.